Hey, welcome back to my podcast, What Am I Watching Right Now? And in this podcast episode, I'm going to talk about a new K-drama that I just finished watching. And without further ado, let's get into this. The drama that I watched is named, its Korean translation is I'll Go to You When the Weather is Nice, and I think it's named When the Weather is Nice on Netflix. So if you're interested in looking it up, you can. But I'll tell you my first impressions of the drama. So I think I watched a slow countryside K-drama before, and I was looking for something similar with a cozy vibe. And of course, I went on Reddit and someone recommended me to watch When the Weather is Nice. It's like has a similar feel, and I knew that even though it's going to be cozy, it's going to be a rough drama, but it also depends on how the drama deals with the tough situations. And yeah, and I'll say that it's a very slow burn, first of all. So if you're not into slow dramas, dramas that slowly unravels, it might not be for you. But I didn't mind the pacing. I did mind the content a little bit towards the end, but I didn't mind the pacing at all. I also had a problem with how it was recommended to me. So the people on Reddit were telling me that this drama has a very, how do I say, light, heartwarming, fizzy, cozy feeling to it. I guess to a point it's true, like it is warm and cozy, but that's not how I would categorize it. I would definitely say that while it was cozy and warm, and it gave off that feeling that you get when you're like sipping coffee on a cold winter afternoon, it has that vibe, but it also has this other vibe of people getting over their past, dealing with their hurt, or should I say childhood traumas, and in some cases abuse. So it's a different kind of drama, and the one that I watched was quite heartwarming. It made me smile, even though that drama too dealt with a lot of difficult topics, and it was portrayed very realistically, and it was visceral, but I felt like the things that the show was dealing with in the previous drama, it didn't take over the feeling that I get as a viewer, in the sense that it didn't overwhelm me. I could still go watch all of that and I could still go away with a warm feeling in my heart. But in The Weather is Fine, that feeling gets overtaken for a long moment before the coziness and the heartwarmingness or whatever comes back towards the very end of the drama. But it does start like really nice and cozy. It starts slow. Like I said, it's a slow burn. So it takes a few episodes. Like with every K-drama, it takes like 2 or 3 episodes to set up the story. And this drama is no different. It does that even more slowly, since it's a slice of life drama. So people move in their own ways. They move slowly. They have conversations, but they don't tell each other everything. There's a lot being said with the passing of a look, and I also loved BMY in this. Park Min Young, in whatever drama she is in, she acts so well. Like, she's such a veteran actress. You will enjoy her in anything you'll watch, but it's very different from her other roles, because I think the two dramas that I've watched of her, she plays like a confident, sassy, resilient woman, office worker, I should say. But in this one, she is resilient, but in a different manner. Like, her resilience comes off in a different way, given the content and the topics that the show deals with. Still enjoyed her in this. She played a very fragile person who's vulnerable, who's hurting, trying to get over her past and, you know, dealing with her past, learning how to move through it. And I felt like at points, it felt like that her as a character, she's wading through mud to get to the end point where she can understand, like, or she could make sense of the things that are happening to her. And also, there was like this general fear in her heart because she didn't know what's going to happen next in her life. And I feel like it's very realistic to how we go through life as well. Sometimes we don't get immediate answers. Things can happen very slowly. Maybe you can fall in love with the same person you liked in high school, and it takes like 12 years for you to get together and see that you two were very compatible for each other. Things like that. And sometimes you can learn secrets about your family 20, 30 years down the line, and it overwhelms you in a sense that you felt like it's quite different than the things that, you know, the story you had in your head, and you were trying to relate to it in a very wrong manner when something entirely different was going on beneath the surface. So things like that, really liked that aspect of the show, because it was again very realistically portrayed. But I think the subject matter in the last three or four episodes gets very dark, in the sense that there's an unflinchingly visceral, very realistically, that's why it becomes very dark to watch. It's very visceral. There's a long scene about domestic abuse in there, and it's also being played like three times in all the three different episodes. So by the third episode, I get a bit desensitized to it, but the first time I watched it, I was like, I don't want to be watching this. It doesn't make me feel very good. And also, there were some aspects of the show that I didn't agree with, in the sense that PMY's character name is Mok Hae-won, and she has her mom and her aunt, and in the story, in the drama, in the show, I should say, both Mok Hae-won's mom and her aunt are portrayed as like really beautiful, young, intelligent women. I shouldn't say young because they do get old in the show, but they're portrayed as, you know, like in young in the manner that they are very they're very quirky, but they accept who they are. They're very intelligent, like I said. They're very beautiful, and they know it, and, you know, they move through life knowing how much needed, or I should say, like, wanted by the other people they are. I am not saying that they have a superiority complex, but in some places they do. Not both of them, but yeah, they do not have a superiority complex. Sorry for saying that. They just are portrayed as like really beautiful and intelligent women. Mok Hae-won's mom gets married to a man who was very devoted to her, and is very socially likable. People think of him as a good husband and a father, but that man is very psychopathic and manipulative. He married the most beautiful woman in the village because he, I mean, it's not really explained, but from what I gathered is like he married her because he felt like she would be a trophy, and he on the surface feels like he has low self-esteem issues, and he takes it out on her by, of course, beating the crap out of her, and it's portrayed very realistically on the show, and in scenes where he's like hurting her, he's saying things like, how can you do this to me? And the way he's acting, it feels like he's a very he's a person with very low self-esteem, and he needs to somehow compensate for it by making this very beautiful, young, talented woman feel down about themselves, down about herself, like if making her hate herself will somehow make himself feel better. So that's what I gathered. That's very manipulative, psychopathic to an extent, because this person was love bombarding her since the very beginning, or should I say, he was very devoted to her, and to turn on her like that. And also it's shown that her abuse started very soon after she gave birth, because somewhere she says that by the time you were 5 or 6, she was getting beaten repeatedly. And I mean, there's some dialogue there that she says that when I was your age, Hevana, I was a mother of a six year old. And even before that, we see that in a flashback where her sister somehow acknowledges that her sister, like the aunt, realizes that the mom has like marks on her body, and she gets that flashback after seeing her own old friend from her high school. Like the aunt recalls all the marks on her sister's body after she sees another female victim who also happens to be a high school friend who has cancer. And even when she's like so sick, her husband has been beating her, and it's shown in that show. So there's a very dark matter subject thingy, and I should have given a content warning, sorry about that, but I'm giving you a content warning now. At least it will be somehow be better if you're triggered by that. Like, yeah, the show has some dark elements. And also I felt like it didn't deal with it in a manner. Like, nowhere in the show the man is branded as a manipulative, sociopathic person, but in the show the tune of that character is that he's a likable man who'd never hurt his own daughter. He was nice to their daughter, and both the women could see it. People who are violent like that, who are hurting the mom, the third person, the daughter, who is not yet a victim, would be a victim if that man had lived longer, because violent people hit everyone in the house. It's not like he was leaving his daughter. I think maybe the reason why he was beating his wife, I'm not sure, it's a little bit unknown because the show doesn't delve in it, but sooner than later I'm sure he would have start hurting Hevana too. But again, she was a little kid. Maybe he was waiting for her to grow up, who knows. So we can't really say for sure. And I also didn't like her character, because her character towards the end, or maybe her character when she's dealing with the truth, when she learns about it in, I think, episode 12 or 13 or 14, somewhere around that, she learns about the truth. And the way she deals with her own aunt is very unsympathetic, and her mother too. She never goes to them and says that, "I see how much you've been hurt. I can't believe or imagine what you have gone through." But instead, she says to her aunt that she looks at her aunt differently now. And no matter how much of a monster the man was, he was still her father. And I kind of understand that to an extent. It's also a very realistic portrayal of how a child would react, because a child needs two parents sometimes, or I should say, like, all the time, I guess. Like, yeah, kids have separate roles or separate images of their father and their mother, and when one of them is missing, they are hurt. But in Havana's case, both of them were missing because her dad died and her mom went to jail, and then she felt hurt. And also, she was being bullied at school, so it makes sense that she still hasn't dealt with all of that pain. And when she learned about the truth, it came to the forefront. And of course, she must have missed her father more, because he wasn't even there. She can't even write him letters. But still, like, learning about the way his father abused her mom, It will turn anyone's stomach. But there's also the fact that she didn't see any of that happening. This man was an entirely different person whenever she was around or she was in the picture. He was taking her to the beach. He was playing with her when her mom was feeling upset, or should I say feeling sick after she was hurt like that. But yeah, I don't get it. But yeah, there was points where her character frustrated me. I wanted her to acknowledge what her dad did and to forgive his mom and her aunt. And to be honest, what is there for them to forgive? Sorry, what is there for Havana to forgive her aunt and mom about? They were the real victims, but nobody said that, like, it's okay to live your life the way you want to. You both don't deserve to pay for that man's inexcusable actions, because they didn't do anything. And there's this whole segment in the show where her mom is like blaming herself that I was the one who created that scene, that situation, because I married that man and I brought him into your life, like Shim Myung-yo, the aunt's life. But I felt really bad when she was saying that, because I felt like the show didn't really give her, you know, enough time or enough space to say that to herself, that she wasn't the one who was creating those violent situations. She was the victim, and she didn't really deserve to go to jail. But again, it's a K-drama, and the way the society and the way the society, their society is reacting, or the way they're portraying it, this is because they have an understanding about this based on their own laws and the way they react to domestic abuse. So maybe it's somehow generalized that women bring this upon themselves. I'm not sure, but that's what it felt like after watching the show. It's like the show was partly blaming the women for being too beautiful and being too intelligent and delving into this. Again, I don't understand why slice of life rom-coms have such a really difficult and really dark side stories. It's there in every one of Park Min Young's shows that I've watched, except for Casting Love and Weather, where her dark side story was her ex cheating on her, and that's also very emotional and hard to go through. So okay, then I should just say that her, all of her shows has a very dark underside belly or dark very underside subplot. And also I feel like sometimes the writers and the directors and the producers don't really deal with it in a very appropriate manner. But I also understand what they were trying to do with showing a very dark subplot with a very, I should say, warm, cozy slice of life drama. Is they were trying to portray that when people blame women for staying in abusive relationships and marriages, it's because that the man who's doing these things to them, they are still very nice people, they treat their sons and daughters just fine and they're liked socially. But I felt like they still forgot to brand the actions as inexcusable and let the victims come to this realization themselves that they were not the ones who initiated this or did anything wrong. They were just the victims of a wrong situation and also being involved with the wrong people. But we never get that from the show again, because the screen time that the mom and the aunt receive is not of a protagonist's screen time. It's more like they are the side characters. But then again, you don't understand, or I should say I didn't understand why they brought such a dark subplot to the story. And for a few episodes we started to think that it's not Havana's story, because I felt like the Havana or and Yoon Sopa are the main protagonists. But for the last 4 or 5 episodes I started to think it was Aunt's story or it was the mom's story. They are the main protagonists and Havana is the second lead or something. But honestly, I really liked, I started to like Aunt's story better, to be honest, towards the end. I really liked her little backstory about love and how she was with Cha Yoon-taek. But again, she was also breaking up with him for very little reasons, because maybe it was portrayed like that because they wanted to show how happy and carefree she was, because she had everything at her feet. The world was her oyster. She was beautiful. She was the most talented student at SNU, and she was already writing bestsellers before the things that happened to her sister started to spill into her life. Then they both tried to punish themselves. The older sister went to jail and the younger sister punished herself to the very end. And she also broke up with the person that she was breaking up with time and again. But the last time and the final time that she does break up with him, she didn't want to, because she loved him and she couldn't give herself that nice feeling, or she was cutting out everything that was good in her life. And her relationship was definitely the one good thing, or should I say one of the good things in her life. Also, while the feeling of the drama is a bit too dark in the last few episodes, we also get like a lot of backstory of Havana's life. Also, Mok Haewon going through school, being branded as the murderer's daughter, having a friend who leaked out her secret at her new school that made the bullying and the words that she was hearing much more harsher than what she heard in Seoul, because Seoul is still like a city, and I'm sure people are not as interested, or maybe they are interested but to a lesser extent. Somehow the bullying was worse in a countryside school because it's a small town and everybody knows your business, so I'm sure the bullying was a tad bit much harsher, so much so that she contemplates unaliving herself. So yeah, content warning, but nothing like that happens because her aunt appears at this right time and she manages to reconcile or make herself not do that. But yeah, apart from that, we do get a very sweet love story between Yeon-sob and Hae-won, Mok Hae-won, and we see their high school love story in flashbacks, or should I say one-sided love story, because Yeon-sob was the one who fell first for her. But throughout the series, we also see Mok Hae-won fall harder for him, and she's the one who goes running to him in the last episode. There's lots of little things that the show shows you, and it's very subtle because there's a lot of silent acting in this. And the reason why I call Park Min Young a veteran actress is because she acts a lot through her eyes and her demeanor. She's playing a very expressive role in this, but all the expressive things that she's doing is with her face and her body and the way she handles herself in those situations. She's portraying a lot of emotions to her body movements and her posture. And Yeon-sob is the same. Like, his eyes are warm and his like general I'll say body movements are warm, but he still manages to have that aloof aspect to his eyes, or say aloof aspect in his demeanor. His eyes are somewhat cold in the show, but they're also warm at the same time. He acts, I think in the first few episodes, he acts like he's very nonchalant. He's not really bothered by Mok Hae-won coming back or kind of barging in his bookstore. But we learn through his blog post that that's not the case. He's just paralyzed because he adores her so much. He's just paralyzed in her presence, like awe. The show is very sweet when Yeon-sob's feelings are involved. And the reason why I was rooting for them to get together is because it means so much to Yeon-sob, honestly, the way he writes about her. He has had a crush on her since they were in high school, and in the first episode I think he says that the winter gets a bit better because I get to see you for a few days from Christmas to I think the New Year's. It's sweet in the way he writes like blog posts. I mean, I also do that, but it's very sweet. Like, he's writing about his high school love and also about his feelings, how he processes things. And he seems like a very introverted person in the show. And he is a very introverted person in this show. And sometimes I think for an introverted person, we feel like things are very apparent about how we feel and how we consider other people in our life. But the thing is, those people need a vocal reassurance, or maybe if the consideration was shown through words, maybe people would be more at ease with how they think about you regarding in a relationship. And it could be of any kind, friends, family, close friends, a lover, it's all the same. But that's what I got from Yeon-sob. He might have just acted in the manner that he wanted to act, and he might have believed a little that people can see through him or see through his actions and consideration. But the thing is, people again need a vocal vocal reassurance that you like them. So if again, also the blog posts portrayed a very important role in the story, because if we didn't get the blog post, we didn't get the real reactions or the real feelings of what Yunsub was feeling. Like I said, he's a very introverted person, and lots of things left us in the lurch because we don't know what's happening. Like, for example, in the episode where Mok Hye-won confesses her feelings to him because she feels comfortable, she can talk about her past to him, and suddenly she realizes that she has fallen for him, and she doesn't even take a beat. She just wants to tell him how much she likes him and how she feels about Yeon-sub. And while she confesses, the lights go out because they were having a light out ceremony or something. But Yunsub can still see her, and he can still hear what she's saying. And when she does confess, he gets to be very quiet, mute. He's just like, he tunes out. You can see that, like, he's on autopilot then, because he doesn't know how to answer. It's probably the same feeling when something very big happens to you, something you've rooted for years and years, and something like that happens to you. It takes you a good amount of time to process, because it's finally happening, and I'm sure you wanted it to happen, but you also don't know what will happen when it does happen, if that makes any sense. So I got his reaction and I understood it, but I was also confused why he wasn't reacting or why he wasn't saying anything other than okay. But again, it was cleared in his blog post, because as I guessed, he was so paralyzed and he was also on cloud 7, but he also didn't know how to react. This guy starts to fumble when he's in the same room with Mok Hye-won and he plays it so nonchalant because he likes her so much. So just understand, like, she confessed, and what would be his reaction? It would be like, huh? Are you talking to me? Okay, yeah. So I understood, and I really liked the way those things were shown in the show, because again, they are very realistic. Also liked his blog posts. I was looking forward to them after the end of every episode. Also, let me talk about the book club. I want to be a part of that book club, and I want to talk about books, and I want to talk about the things that move me. It's not going to happen. Where I live, no one is interested in books, and online book clubs are there, but they don't feel as intimate or warm. It's a different feeling when you are in a room with close-knit friends, or at least people or acquaintances you like, and we are all talking about books and sharing snacks. It's so lovely, and I suppose it's a very warm feeling in a very cold winter. You might look forward to that the whole day. I know I would. So I really liked the things that they shared, and I really liked how they shared about things that they were reading, things that moved them, things that made them think, and also loved that they were not just sharing books or poems, they were also sharing things like newspaper clippings, things that they read somewhere in a blog post or things like that. Really, it was really sweet. Really liked that aspect of this show. Maybe it helped me take my mind off from all the dark things that were happening at certain points in the show. Also, the younger sister of Yeon-sub was there for comedic relief. Im Hee-wee, I think she brought a very refreshing lightness to the show. She made me laugh a lot of times with her antics while she was pursuing her crush. She was definitely there to make us feel or a bit lighter, and for us to be smiling, because the show was dealing with some of the harsher topics, but she brought a genuine heartfeltness to the show. Also, Yeonseop's best friend, he felt like such a sweet and pure character from the beginning to the end. He was very supportive of Yeonseop. He didn't, he didn't cross the line. He didn't cross boundaries. He didn't force Yeonseop to talk about his past life. But he was still there because he understood that the things that happened to Yeonseop as a kid might have been very tough for him. And he never left Yeonseop alone. He knew that Yeonseop is an introverted person. He's some sort of a recluse, a hermit. But the person, his friend, like Lee Jong-woo, he kept visiting him. He kept seeing him on a regular basis. He kept bringing him out to school reunions to eat. Just kept seeing him. And sometimes that's all someone needs when they're hurting or when they have resorted themselves to self-isolation. Because in a sense, I felt like Yeonseop was sort of self-isolating because he was running a small bookstore in a countryside village that doesn't get a lot of customers. And he's just there in that bookstore alone reading books, drinking coffee. And he doesn't go out much, doesn't seem like it. He just goes out and deals with people when he has things to do and things to take care of. So I suppose having a supportive best friend like Lee Jong-woo made things very, I'm trying to look for the word, breathable for him, or maybe he could deal with them because, yeah, things more easier for him because he has such a supportive best friend. And Mok Hae-won didn't have that. Mok Hae-won didn't have a friend like that. And the friend that she did make in high school turns out to be a manipulative and toxic person, and she remains toxic to the last. Even she makes Mok Hae-won rethink about her own boundaries. I don't like people like that, especially the ones who try to manipulate you, thinking that the things that they did was not their fault entirely. It's somehow partly your fault because you jumped to conclusions and they are still making you rethink their decision. I don't think that's very healthy, and that's not the sign of a long-term friendship. But I think the show was trying to give you a different perspective to the decisions that you make in your life and the boundaries that you've put up when someone hurts you. For me personally, realistically, if someone hurts me like that and they knew exactly what they're doing to hurt me, that person has no coming back into my life. Like, I will never take them back, and I will also like be okay with them living their life. I will forgive them, but you know, and I would want to see them do well, but I just won't communicate with them because I know that person is not trustworthy. And I think that's how Mok Hae-won feels about this best friend, who is a toxic person, who was trying to steal her boyfriend, when they were in high school. Partly, not really. He was not her best friend. Sorry, he was not her boyfriend in high school, but she thought that Mok Hae-won likes this person. So it doesn't take away from the fact that this person was trying to steal Mok Hae-won's crush in high school and then her alleged boyfriend after all these years, because Mok Hae-won came back to town. So that's a very toxic person, and she generalizes or rationalizes her decisions as, oh, I liked you so much, Mok Hae-won. You meant so much to me because I liked you so much. That's why a friendship meant so much to me. But I guess I didn't mean much to you. I mean, how can you mean much to someone who contemplated taking their own life away because of the things you did? Huh? But I didn't get that. Like, I didn't get that subplot story about her trying to apologize in a moving bus and then trying to make Mokhi one second guess her decision, and then she does that again when she brings Mokhi one to her place because Mokhi one passes out drunk, and then she tries to chip away at her boundaries again, like chip away at Mokhi one's boundaries and her decision again. I didn't like that, but I guess the show was trying to give you a different perspective. But yeah, I'm not for that. So all in all, I think it's a good show. It's fine. It has some lovable characters. Love Insop's parents, especially after the history of adoption in Korea. And the rigid rules, I should say, like society, the way society views adoption, and the fact that the whole town, small town, talked about it and even through the very difficult past and rubbed that past in Yeonsop's face whenever they can and they could do it. It felt like their parents were very nice to him. I really loved that. Really loved seeing their affection for Yeonsop. And yeah, his parents were very nice. I got a very warm feeling watching them. They were very genuine in worrying about him and his whereabouts and how he was living his life. They really loved him. And it was very nice to see for a change, because earnest displays of love for your family, it's not very on the forefront in K-dramas. It's there, but it's very subtle or it gets very little screen time. But this one, it was very genuine, realistic, warm. Really liked watching that. Really liked his young sister doting on him and fighting him and saying things to him. And also crying when he gets her that prized saddle. So really liked all these aspects. And maybe that's why sometimes when a good slice of life drama comes along, it makes it very endearing to watch. And I also took my time watching this. Took around a month to watch the whole thing. I savored every moment, even though some of those moments were hard, but I still enjoyed watching the show. If I would have to rate this drama, I would give it a 8.5 out of 10. Or should I should say like 8. Okay, no, 8.5 out of 10. I'm just deducting the 1.5 because of terrible choices of trying to intermingle two main stories. Maybe giving the aunt and the mom story a separate season would have been a good idea, but then again, if we didn't watch the mom and the aunt story, we wouldn't get the extent of Mokhi Won's sufferings. But also the show didn't I felt like they didn't do justice to Mokhi Won's aunt and her mom's sufferings, and they didn't get enough screen time. Maybe an episode or two longer would have done that justice for them to come to a happy realization, but we didn't see that. Also, we didn't see a happy ending for aunt. She was just being driven somewhere, but she didn't reconcile with the, I should say, love of her life. She still likes him, Yoon Chak-taek, and we didn't get that happy ending. Also makes me wonder if this is because of the way Korean society doesn't want older women to have love stories or have a happy ending in romance, because they view them as old and somehow less deserving of a happy story. But on the other hand, Yoon Chak-taek is an older man too, but he has a very young girlfriend in the show, so it doesn't make sense. But it's there, I guess. And I also didn't like the visceral scene that we had to see around 3 or 4 times. I think one time would have been enough, and you could have just said it. Watching it twice was like, it was turning my stomach, and by the third time I felt like I was getting desensitized to it. It was much worse than having my stomach turn. Third or fourth time I was like, yeah, I'm getting desensitized to the violence and it's not good. You should not show it so much that you turn your audiences off. And if you are going to deal with such a dark topic, and if you're going to make that your subplot in a very happy, cozy show, then you might as well do it justice, or you might as well treat it very gently and gingerly and with thoughtfulness and empathy that the audience can understand the stance you're trying to take. And I kind of partly understood their stance, but I didn't really agree with it. Didn't make sense to me a little bit. But again, the shows and the TV series we see are a reflection of their society and how the society views such things. Maybe that's how the Korean people understand things, and that's why it's being shown to them, because TV series, movies are a reflection of how the society thinks about and deals with such things. Again, with all that being said, I am deducting 1.5 because of the things I just said. But yeah, all in all, I would still recommend watching when the weather is nice. I enjoyed it, and hopefully you will enjoy it too. Thank you for coming in and hearing me talk in this podcast episode. I'll see you in the next one. Bye. I think it would be very suitable for me to again end this show with the two questions that the show kept asking. It kept asking you, have you eaten well and slept well? So I should try to say that in Korean with my broken Korean. I'm doing this just for me, so deep. I think bear with it, I guess. Mogaso. Mogaso. Jal jayo.